The Pittsburgh Steelers are about to start their OTAs. We previewed that on for the Friday episode, but for the Monday episode, I want to focus on one Steeler in particular, and that's going to be Chase Claypool. Joining me to talk about him is Alan Saunders of Pittsburgh Sports Now. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, and welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things of the Pittsburgh Steelers. As always, you can find our show on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. Be sure to check us out on YouTube. If you like this video, hit the like button on the video. Please hit the subscribe button to our YouTube channel to get all of our daily Monday through Friday episodes, as well as our breaking news updates and our bonus episodes that we will sometimes release. We thank you for making Locked On Steelers podcast your first listen every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. As I said, we are bringing in a guy, first time guest on the show. You know him if you're around the Pittsburgh scene. He's been around for quite some time. My man Alan Saunders, my teammate, my compadre over at Steelers Now, where I now write and work. Alan, how you doing, good sir?
I'm doing well, Chris. Thanks for having me. It's good. It's a good debut here. Good time of year. It's a springtime, new fresh start, new things happening, new quarterback in town.
And a lot of people are talking about the quarterbacks, and I've done a lot of talking about it. You've done a lot of talking about it, a lot of writing about it. And certainly all eyes are going to be right on Kenny Pickett, Mitch Trubisky, Mason Rudolph, what they're doing, who's taking a step forward, who's running first teams and everything like that. But let's take a step away from those guys. Let's look at the guys who they're throwing to. And in particular, a guy who's in a very interesting position this year. And that's Chase Claypool. Now, Chase Claypool is heading into his third year in the NFL. His rookie season, he burst onto the scene with 873 receiving yards, 9 touchdowns through the air, 2 touchdowns on the ground, also caught 2 touchdowns in the playoff game where the Steelers lost, but still he looked strong. He looked very promising as a rookie. And even though as a second-year player, he had 860 yards, so only 13 yards off from where he was as a rookie. He only had 2 receiving touchdowns, no rushing touchdowns, had the point fiasco in Minnesota when the Steelers were trying to get organized and keep the clock from running, and he was too busy pointing for a first down after he converted, and a lot of people pointed to that as one of the reasons they lost that game. But there's been a lot of questions about Chase Claypool. He's gotten in a fight with Minkah Fitzpatrick and things like that. But I think the question is that everyone's trying to figure out, Alan, who is the real Chase Claypool? Is it a playmaker who put up 11 touchdowns in his rookie year regular season who could be a phenom in the NFL? Or is he kind of this guy that's going to be inconsistent for his whole career? In year 3 of your rookie contract, this is always a big time for people to make their staple of who they are.
Yeah, I think the big – like, where is he going to play this year? I think that's one of the – that's one of my things that I'm really interested to see this week is, like, where does Chase Claypool line up? When I look at last year's tape from him, it's not all bad. Like, it wasn't the sort of, like, big progress, the big jump that I think people kind of hoped for from him after that really, really promising rookie year. And it wasn't all bad, though. It was a mixed bag, right? There was some good, some bad. But a lot of the good, I feel like, when you go back and look at it, is, like, when he's in the slot, when he comes in motion, when they did different things to get him. Because he looks like, okay, here's this big, tall, strong guy that jumps pretty well. All right, let's just put him on the outside and let him run go routes. And I don't think that really worked that well. I think he was actually better. You talked about all those touchdowns rookie year. How many of those were on the ground, right? I mean,
right.
He was doing sort of slot receiver things, sort of regardless of where he was playing. He was not that split end, that sort of guy that lines up on the line of scrimmage, stands there still, doesn't move, mostly runs vertical routes like that. That wasn't him his rookie year. They tried to do more of that with him last year. I don't think it worked. I think he's the kind of guy that, even though he's big and he's strong, benefits from the kind of varied releases he can get, where it's in the slot or when he goes in motion, and he can then use his physicality and his speed after the catch. That big long play against Denver, you saw he comes in motion into the slot, beats the guy to the inside, then he stiff arms as a safety and he's running down the field all by himself. Like, that's the kind of way that I think he can use his strength and speed combination better when he gets the ball and then can engage with defenders. Standing up against a guy before the snap, he hasn't seemed to win as many of those. And so I don't know if he's going to change that as he develops physically, mentally, gets older, more mature in the league. Maybe he could be better at that. But I think right now, if the Steelers want to maximize what they can get out of Chase Claypool in 2022, I think it's going to be moving him around and getting some of those free releases that he didn't get as many of last year.
I'm right with you. And this was something I said all season long, especially when Juju got hurt. I was like, put him in, make him the big slot. You put him inside, let James Washington play on the outside. He loves jump balls anyways. You could put him out there. Deontay Johnson's a fine guy to put on the outside. We've seen his separation skills. But Chase Claypool looks so much better. If you even look back at his biggest game, that 3-touchdown performance he had against the Eagles, his rookie season, a lot of those catches, they weren't go routes. They were deep crosses, slants, and it was times he found the soft part of the zone, Ben hit him, and he was able to take off and use his size and his speed, like you said. And he has that tenacity. When he picks up momentum, that's why they try the jet sweeps with him, because if he has a lane, he is dangerous. And teams know that, which is why they were defending it so hard this year. I'm very curious to see if that's going to even be a part of the plans of Matt Canada, because I thought it should have been. It wasn't as much last year. Maybe there was personnel things we weren't aware about. Maybe there were other things they were trying to do because they seemed very committed to putting Ray McLeod in that spot. But I have to think with George Pickens now.
Well, that's the other thing. He is that guy outside that we're just saying that Claypool's not. Go watch his film. Mm-hmm. And he's picking up cornerbacks and moving them 10 yards down the field. Be like, this is my space. Now, it's going to be a little more difficult for him in the NFL to do that. He's going to have some growing pains. But I think he is that guy that could be an outside receiver and win against press coverage, against bigger physical corners that Claypool's not been able to do. So I think if you go out and get George Pickens, to me, Claypool's the slot of those three. But I don't know. I guess we're going to find out.
We are going to find out. It's going to be very interesting to see. And I want to reinforce this because you're talking about how we are going to see things. I want people to remember everything that we see in OTAs is not going to determine what actually happens in the regular season.
I think it was like 2019, right? They came out in OTAs and in minicamp and they ran, I don't know, like 30% like pony sets where they were putting like Jalen Samuels and Connor in the backfield together. They were moving tight ends back there. I don't think they did it once after like week three, the whole season. Like all, I wrote like 5 stories about it that spring. And I was like, I guess, never mind. I don't know.
But this is the whole thing. And also you'll see people stand out. I mean, how many years, Alan, did you see Justin Hunter look like he was Randy Moss when they didn't put the pads on? And then as soon as the season came, he was just Justin Hunter again. Like, it just, things like that do happen a lot. So even if we see Chase Claypool doing really well or anyone doing really, really well, it's just always add that tack of a reminder. But it is interesting to see what's going to be the early taste of where they're lining these guys up at. And will Claypool get more of a chance in that slot position?
I think he's one of the really key guys for this team this year. I mean, if you look at like the offense, you look at all these pieces and you're like, oh man, like this offense is so promising. You got Freiermuth, you got Claypool, got Pickens now, you got Deontay Johnson back, you got Najee Harris. Like that group of eligibles is really promising. But I think, Deontay Johnson is obviously going to get a lot of attention from other teams. Pat Freiermuth, I think, had a really good rookie year. Is not really the kind of tight end that is a downfield threat, that is like a big play threat.
Right.
And he's more of like a traditional tight end. You know, he's not Kyle Pitts. You know, he's not that guy. So if they're going to be able to make some big plays to get defenses' attention off Deontay Johnson, I really do think it comes down to Chase Claypool. I mean, I like George Pickens and Calvin Austin, but that's a lot of load to be putting on a rookie. Like, if there's someone that we can sit here and say, oh, he should be able to be that guy that can make defenses not double-team Deontay Johnson, I think it needs to be Chase Claypool. And I think that's a big deal with this offense. They have to be able to not let teams bracket Deontay Johnson. He is really good to get releases, but he's not Superman. And you put a corner up tight against him and a safety over the top, it's really going to limit him. And they need to keep teams from being able to sit in that cover two and just blanket the field. And I think Claypool is really a key to that. They got to run the ball better too. I mean, I think they'd say that, but probably will say that, frankly, I would imagine. But I think Claypool is an underrated key to unlocking defenses for them this year.
I think it could be a big piece, and it's going to be interesting to see how they deploy that piece. But we will talk more about this in a minute. We'll also talk about a potential trade or the idea of a trade, a question asked to us here on this Locked On Steelers podcast. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. But first, I got to talk to you guys about BetOnline.net. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting stats and sports information. You can find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, news, including this year's NBA playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs, and Major League Baseball, all well underway right now. And you can get all the odds and the action at BetOnline.net. And BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and the action at BetOnline, where the game starts. Back here in the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm Chris Carter here, joined by Alan Saunders of Pittsburgh Sports Now. We are talking about Chase Claypool a lot. And as you know, if you ever want to get on the show or you want a question of yours answered on the show, you can call in at 412-223-6644 or email losteelerstopicbag@gmail.com if you're international and leave a voicemail. But when you leave a voicemail, leave your name, where you're from, and your question, and try to limit it to like 30 seconds to a minute at most. You know, we sometimes get long. This caller, Jacob from Arizona, had a question about Chase Claypool that was a little on the different track from what we were talking about. Here's Jacob's question to us.
Hi, Chris. This is Jacob from Arizona. Just giving you guys a call, first-time caller. I listen to you guys with Locked On Celtics as well with John over there. Love you guys' podcast. Just wanted to ask my question of something I've been thinking about. I'm kind of curious with our receiving core that we have in our room right now, Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, and the new George Pickens, and you can throw Austin in there if you want, but I'm focused on the first three. I'm kind of curious about potentially if the Pittsburgh Steelers might be looking to trade one of these, obviously probably either DJ or Chase Claypool. I'm leaning more towards Chase Claypool after a few games into the season. Let's see how the receivers are doing. Let's see how they're progressing, and more importantly, their behavior on and off the field, on the sideline.
We thank Jacob for the question. Again, you can call in 412-223-6644. Leave a voicemail with your name and where you're from, asking your questions so that we can get it out there. And Jacob asked an interesting question about Chase Claypool. And Alan, he brings up something that is interesting and I think was a sour note for Chase Claypool. Even before the last season started, there was the video of him kicking the person in the fight that went viral on, you know, out on YouTube or TMZ or wherever it was on. Then, you know, when he was in camp, in the early part of camp, or like, he was the late part of camp, early part of the season, he got into the fight with Minkah Fitzpatrick. And then as the year went on, people weren't as happy with his efforts. And then, of course, like I said, the Minnesota Vikings point. And then he got this label of being a diva and not being this team player. And he was doing TikToks and people were concerned that he wasn't caring enough about the team. Whereas a lot of that stuff, you know, people will take that and take it to the nth degree and go overboard with it. But these are things that you'd want to avoid and were visibly annoying to Mike Tomlin. Are those things enough for the Steelers to even consider this as a possibility? To me, unless someone's coming in with the most ridiculous trade offer, I'm not messing up this nice little young receiving group I have right here as I'm trying to figure out who everyone is.
I think you can even go back to the end of his rookie season with the comments about the Browns in the playoffs, right?
Oh, you know what? I forgot all about that. You're right.
That was in there too, right? So I think clearly not thrilled if I'm the Pittsburgh Steelers about the way my young wide receiver is comporting himself. But, I don't think any of that would by itself rise to the level of wanting to trade Chase Claypool. But I think there's two other really important factors here. One is that the wide receiver market is off the friggin' rails.
It is.
So, like you say, like in case somebody comes up with a ridiculous offer, well, I've already seen like a half dozen ridiculous offers in the NFL this year. So I'm not going to sit here and pretend like that's not a reasonable thing. This, like, ridiculous offers have been very common. So maybe someone wants to pay a stupid amount for Chase Claypool, and then I'm picking up the phone and listening. The other thing is, in many ways to me, Chase Claypool is at the airport on standby for his flight, and his name's second on the board. What happens with Deontay Johnson, right? Because I don't think anything that would happen with Chase Claypool could be decided before that gets decided. The Steelers are sort of in a weird spot with Deontay Johnson. They've kind of, I think, backed themselves into needing to extend him this offseason in this ridiculous wide receiver market where it's probably going to take a number that I and most people would think is an overpay to sign Deontay Johnson. If you do that, you're not going to pay Chase Claypool two.
No.
Okay. And so then maybe you do say, well, hey, we're stuck with being only to pay one wide receiver big money. Let's sign Deontay and let's get what we can for Chase and hope that Pickens and Austin work out and just keep flipping it forward and keep this sort of progress rolling. At that's sort of what they've done at the position over the last few years. They're just, instead of letting him go as a free agent, they'd be trading him. Maybe that's a thing. I don't know. Or maybe it's the other thing. Maybe the Steelers and Johnson can't work out a contract. He doesn't show up for training camp. Now what are they left? Maybe they trade him. I don't know. Like, if you're getting crazy offers for one of those guys and you make that move instead of being able to come to a long-term deal with them, I don't know. I think that's the, like, I expect them to get a contract done with Mick and Fitzpatrick. I think it makes too much sense for both sides.
Agreed.
Safety market is the opposite of the wide receiver market. I think a lot of those guys are frankly underpaid. I think they can make Minkah Fitzpatrick the best paid safety in the NFL. And that's not a bad contract for him.
Exactly.
And so, like, what's to fight about at that point, right? Like, mm-hmm. Let's make you the highest paid guy at your position. We're going to be happy with that. You're going to be happy with that. Let's get it done. I don't see things being so copacetic with the Steelers and Deontay Johnson. Like, he's going to want what Christian Kirk got, and why wouldn't he? But that's crazy money. And so I think that has to be resolved before the Steelers could seriously entertain a Chase Claypool trade. But I don't know. They're in a weird spot with the wide receiver. The wide receiver market's in a bad place. I wouldn't just, like, say, no, it's not happening.
No, I agree. It's just not a no, it's not happening thing. I just see, like, right now, there's no pressure on the Steelers to make a move right now. If you get to a certain part of the season, and let's say Deontay Johnson's proven to be your number one and you know you're going to pay him, that's a different story. You know, and if Chase Claypool isn't working out, or if he is working out and you're getting a really good market for him, like you said, people make dumb moves all the time. You know, the Eagles went and got A.J. Brown and gave up a first-round pick to get him. And here's the other thing about this with Deontay Johnson, because this has been a point of mine even before the NFL draft, and when we were asking what's going to happen with Deontay's contract after this year, or even before this year gets going, really. If you look at where they are, I mean, and his entire class is going through it. If you were drafted in the 2019 as a wide receiver, you have been struggling. You know, Terry McLaurin, A.J. Brown, a lot of those receivers were asking, hey, where's my payday? But a lot of NFL teams are looking, buddy, unless you're like the next Antonio Brown, Randy Moss, superstar type of dude, we can just draft a guy and get on a rookie contract for 5 years who's really good. And look at how many wide receivers were so impressive in this year. Heck, everyone's excited because the Steelers just drafted two guys and didn't even get any of them in the first round. So it brings the question up is, like you said, do the Steelers feel like they need to pay Deontay Johnson to stay around? And if they do, does that mean it's like, hey, you know what? We'll get rid of Chase Claypool and we'll just get more assets later. But you're right. The wide receiver market is very tricky. And it's just, I think a big part of it is that there are so many talented wide receivers out there and they keep getting more in the NFL every year.
Well, that's why I think the market doesn't make any sense to me. Like, you spend a lot of money on a tackle or an edge rusher because, or a lockdown corner because everybody needs one and nobody has one, right? Like, that's, they're wide receivers all over the place. I don't understand why this wide receiver market is the way it is because there's so many of them. How many, like, top name wide receivers changed hands this year, whether it was by free agency or trade? You look at the first round of this draft and guys are like slipping into the second round that I think are really, really good. I don't know. I look at college football and I see more pro ready, super talented, big, strong physical receivers coming out in the last 3-4 years than ever. I mean, it's a bumper crop. So why are we paying all these receivers so much money when, like you said, and the Steelers have done this just as well as anybody, just go get the next guy. So I don't know. I think that's why the Steelers are in a really weird place with Deontay Johnson. It wouldn't totally shock me if they don't sign him. We'll see, because who knows what's going to happen. I think the change in the front office matters a lot here. Like, if Kevin Colbert was going to be the GM going forward, I'd be very skeptical that the Steelers would pay Deontay Johnson a big money contract, but it's very hard to predict what someone who I don't even know who is yet is going to decide. They've proven they can draft good wide receivers. So why would you pay them an absurd amount of money? It just doesn't seem to track. Pay the corners. They haven't drafted those really well. Go take care of those in free agency instead.
And we also know this is a different era because you and I, anyone who's studied, covered, or talked about the Steelers professionally has done so for the last 18 years knowing that they have their franchise quarterback on their roster. And for the past, 14 years, that franchise quarterback has been getting franchise quarterback money. And when you're doing so, it adjusts how you think you can pay for certain positions. And now you have a situation where not only do you have that contract not taking up a huge part of your salary cap, but the salary cap is increasing every year and making things so much bigger. So now you're sitting there saying, okay, our understandings of how much you pay to a certain player at a certain position for a certain value, that's all about to get blown up. Everything that we thought we knew is going to be very different. So you're absolutely right. It is very possible that the Steelers don't pull the trigger here, but a lot of this, I think, does look at or depend upon who gets the job. Because if someone does get the job and they say, hey, you know what, we need to lock that guy up, I can see that being a situation where the Steelers get Deontay Johnson to stick around. And here's the thing. I know some people are out there might not be feeling it, but Deontay Johnson is a guy who had 1,100 yards receiving last year, and that was the worst year of Ben Roethlisberger's career. He was the most limited he was. The offense was not in a great place. He's never had a year where he's been with a prime Ben Roethlisberger the way Antonio Brown was through most of the 2010s. And he still found a way to be dangerous. I think that if Deontay Johnson is sitting there saying, like, I am so much better than what I've been allowed to show, and I deserve this payday, I don't blame him at all, because there is a lot of potential there.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it's all about, too, like, how much does this season weigh into things, too? Because, you know, I don't know how much people are expecting, you know, a rookie quarterback or Mitch Trubisky to be an improvement over Ben Roethlisberger or not, right? The Steelers going to go into the season and let this be Deontay Johnson's contract year in that circumstance? And how is that going to get weighed against what he's done with, like you're talking about, like a declining Ben Roethlisberger? I just don't know. It's a very strange situation for them with this contract. I don't know what's going to happen. Are you expecting Deontay to be there Tuesday? I'm not personally. I don't know though.
You know, I hadn't even thought about him. I've been so worried about, like, you know, Stephon Tuitt showing up and thinking about like that. I haven't even thought about, yeah, Deontay could just no show and be like, I'm waiting till y'all figure out if y'all want me or not. That's a very good point. I could easily see him not showing up. Because this is a guy who last year showed up early for every practice, did everything he was supposed to do on the practice field, was staying late, doing all the extra drills. I think he was trying to show the Steelers, this is who you're going to get if you pay me, and they haven't done that yet. So he might take the route this year of saying, you know what, I won't be that guy. I'll be that guy in my own time, in my own space, but I'm not going to show up for everything this year because I thought I earned my future contract. So, Alan, that's a very good pointer right there. We may be interested to see Tuesday if number 18 is lining up out there on the field. But we got other questions about OTAs that Alan's going to has in his article that he's writing about for Monday. So do stay tuned. We have some more OTA point lines, and we're actually going to focus on the offensive line in just a minute here. But first, we got to talk to you guys about RockAuto.com. Y'all know about RockAuto.com. They're the place you go when you want to save time or money when looking for car parts or truck parts for whatever your vehicle is. If you go there, you'll be choosing to save money either 30%, 50%, even 100% more from the parts that you'll get from the chain store or the car dealership. For example, if you go to the dealership, a Honda Odyssey fuel pump can run you as much as $353. But if you go to RockAuto.com, that price is cut down to $216. That's an amazing deal and a great opportunity for you at RockAuto.com, and which that place is a family-owned business. They've been serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. They do a great job in helping you find the part for your car or your truck, and their prices are reliably low for every customer. They have everything you can need, from brake parts to tail lamps to motor oil and even new carpet. So go explore their easy-to-use website today and find the solution for your auto part needs. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in there. How did you hear about us box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit RockAuto.com today. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm Chris Carter here with Alan Saunders of Pittsburgh Sports Now. Now, Alan, we got OTAs coming up, and there's a lot of excitement. We said about the quarterbacks, about all the rookies, but the offensive line was a group that we thought would, at least I thought, as soon as the season ended, before the draft, before free agency, all that, I thought that there would be some major additions in the draft on the offensive line, and we got none of them. And so, but they did get James Daniels. But now you're in a situation where, I mean, I swore the Steelers were going to try to find a way to add to the interior of their offensive line with this draft class, and they never even tried. Well, and maybe they did try, it just didn't work out. But that's a thing. So now you have a question as far as who's going to be the interior offensive line. You at guards, you have James Daniels, you have Kevin Dotson, but you know, you have the question with center. You have a lot of guys that can play the center role and also slide over to guard. Where does Kendrick Green, Mason Cole, J.C. Hasenauer, all of those guys lining up? That's one of the big things that you're going to be writing about. But where do you see at least the pole position for a lot of these guys starting out in OTAs?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of different moving parts there, and you could do it a lot of different ways. You know, I think the two tackle spots are pretty well set. I think it's going to be Dan Moore on the left and Chooks on the right. Although if it was up to me, I think I would flip them, but it's not. They don't ever listen.
They don't seem to. But I'm with you on that, because Decore Four has never been the aggressive type, and the right tackle, you want to be a bully. He's more of a pass protector, but to your point, they don't listen to us.
So you have, I feel pretty confident that Kevin Dotson gets one guard spot, but I thought he was better at right guard as a rookie than he was at left guard last year. He played at right guard in college. I think I would put him at right guard if I was making a line myself, but we'll see what happens. And then you have center, where Kendrick Green was frankly not very good as a rookie last year, struggled through a lot of different things. He struggled with just having a nose over him. He struggled snapping the ball. You know, he struggled in pass protection. There were more plays probably by like about a 10-1 margin where sometimes there's a play where one guy screws up so bad that you honestly can't grade anybody else on the team, because that guy just screwed it up so badly that like everybody else is just kind of null and void. I think there was about 10 Kendrick Greens for one every other guy on the offense for the Steelers last year. That's just the way things went, where it's like, well, look, I don't know. What are you going to say about this guard when the guy who's supposed to be next to him is 7 yards back in the backfield on his backside? Like, you can't make up for those mistakes, especially that close to the football. If the wide receiver way over on the other side of the field runs the wrong way, the quarterback at least has a chance to throw the ball somewhere else. When the center screws up, the whole offense goes, you know, to heck. And
thank you.
Too many of those last year for me. And you go out and you get James Daniels, who can play center and guard. You get Mason Cole, who can play center and guard. You have J.C. Hasenauer, who sort of kind of replaced Green down the stretch. And all that to me adds up like, oh, Kendrick Green's not playing center. Now, I don't know who is, though, right? Is it Daniels? Right. Is it Cole? Is it Hasenauer? I don't know. And then what happens with Green? Does he move to a backup role? Could he compete for a starting role at guard? He played more guard than center at Illinois.
Yep.
It's not like it's a stretch to say that he could work his way into a starting role there. So I think probably looking at Daniels at one spot and Cole and Green competing for the other one, but I'm not sure which way it goes. I don't know. I think I could see Daniels playing center and those two competing for the left guard spot. Seems to me like the way I would go, but man, you can put those four names in a bingo hopper and pull them out in any order you want. I wouldn't be particularly surprised by any of those results with the first team Tuesday morning.
As long as Daniels is somewhere he'll be out there.
I think probably Dotson. Although, look, right. I mean, I think a lot of people are writing Kevin Dotson in on this offensive line. Like, he's the man.
Guaranteed.
He played four games his rookie year. Then after that, he had his conditioning called out by his coaches, not publicly, but sort of kind of publicly. Got hurt in training camp, missed a bunch of the season, got hurt again, and kind of struggled in between. Like, it was a fourth-round pick. It's not this guy with this huge high pedigree. Like, I like him. I was excited about him last year. I still am, but I think the resume doesn't add up to the way a lot of people feel about him. I think at this point, a lot of Steeler fans are like, yeah, that's our guy. He's going to be a starting guard. I look at the resume. It doesn't quite add up. It looks like a guy who should be winning a spot, not a guy who should be given a spot.
No, I agree with that. Kevin Dotson, I mean, he's had some really bright flashes and some moments that you've been like, whoa, that's the guy. Like, and I get that. And that's excitement, but you got to be consistent with that. That's what David DeCastro and Marquise Pouncey. I think Steelers fans became spoiled with how easy things seemed during their prime years. And just when those guys were clicking, the rest of the offensive line made their jobs a lot easier. Ramon Foster, Alejandro Villanueva, those guys fed off of Pouncey, DeCastro, and for a time, Marcus Gilbert. And that to me is a big part of this, is they need those anchors. They need those guys who are going to set the tone for everyone else and make it so that, hey, you can feed off this energy. I'm going to be the tone setter in the middle of the line. And maybe that means Daniels needs to be the center, because to me, the center position is so important, because oftentimes they're the guy that puts everyone else in check. They communicate, they're keeping it on point. And if you control in the middle part of the line, everything extends out from there, and you can feed off of that strength, and guys can kind of double team with you, work with you, depend on you to take on a guy on their inside shoulder so that they can focus on their outside shoulder. Those things are so important. And if the Steelers, I mean, and you look throughout all the Steelers' great years, their best teams usually have great centers on them. You know, Damani Dawson of the 90s, Jeff Harding's with Super Bowl 40, you know, Mike Webster and Ray Mansfield for the 70s, you know, and Marquise Pouncey throughout the 2010s. Most of their best teams had great centers on them, and guys that were star players at the position. And James Daniels is the only person that's in that group of, you know, those four hats that we're talking about there, who could even be considered, I think, good in a consistent standpoint, let alone great. So, you know, I think it's going to be very interesting. Like you said, who lines up where to start in OTAs when we start seeing things on Tuesday?
Yeah, I mean, talking about, especially in the running game, right? When we go see these zone running drills, right? It's three guys. It's a tackle, a guard, and a center working together on the side of the ball. Not to say what the guys on the backside do isn't important, but it's not that important. But right. You have to have three guys that are connected to set that block up for the running back. And I think one of the big faults of the Steelers line last year was, okay, like, they had some injuries. I don't think Trey Turner was all that good. They, you know, playing John LeGlue at guard a bunch, but you can't make a three group with a bad center. Like, no. You can't have a good three with a bad center, because he's always got to be attached, right? You know, no matter where you're going, he's a part of it. And so I do think that I would play Daniels at center, just because he is the best guy they have in the interior of the offensive line. He's gonna be that important. You know, I wrote a couple of weeks ago that I feel like this off season was really focused on giving Matt Canada everything that he needs to be successful at the NFL level. You know, they went out and got the top quarterback in free agency. They got the first quarterback drafted. They drafted two wide receivers that look like they're going to project to be pretty good players. Like, you know, Canada got taken care of. We barely saw the defensive staff during the draft over there. But the line is still a question mark, and a pretty big one. That they need some progress from those two tackles, who are still very young, by the way. Jukes is the same age as like 10 guys that are rookies. People forget that he was so young when he came in the league. Some of these rookies are older than he is still. And so those two guys need to show some progress, and they've got to figure out the best way to make those three or four or five or however many interior guys they have competing for those spots work.
Certainly, that's going to be a big storyline. Is before even, are they good? Where do they even line up? Because I think a big part of where the Steelers are going to go this year, they're going to need the offensive line to at least hold the line. You don't have to be amazing. You don't have to be a top 10 or even a top 15 offensive line, but just don't be terrible. Like, hold the fort down, be reliable to give your quarterback reasonable protection. That's a big point there. You know, so I agree with you entirely, Alan. This is going to be a big question, but if you all want to see more of what you're looking for, go to Steelers Now, where I work. Alan's going to have a great story up for you Monday to give you a breakdown of what he's looking at for OTAs, both Alan and I and Nick Faribault. So I guess that's more than both, but still, all three of us will be representing Steelers Now at OTAs when they're starting things up Tuesday through Thursday. We'll be talking about that right on this show all week long, so get ready. It's going to be an exciting week. Alan, thank you so much for joining us here in the Locked On Steelers podcast. Let people know they can find you, follow you, and get more of your work.
Yeah, I mean, at @asaunders_PGH on Twitter, SteelersNow.com, PittsburghSportsNow.com, that's where it's all at. And then a whole Pittsburgh Sports Now family and networks. We got all kinds of coverage going on. Man, I'm so excited. I'm so excited to have you on board. And you know, we also added Dave Molinari recently. We got some new additions to our Pirates site coming up. I can tease that a little bit now. Ooh. I can't say what yet, but we got some new additions coming to our Pirate site too. So just big things happening. I'm so excited. So happy with the way things are going, and really happy to have your listeners here locked on as part of our network too. So come on, check us out, and we'll have the Locked On podcast there and their own page on the site as well.
Yes, we do. So it's another way to check us out. If ever you just kind of, if you're ever a web browser person, you can go to Steelers Now. There will be the Locked On page every day, every episode, every day. We'll have one up for you on there now to help you find it as well. So, Alan, thanks so much for joining us. Look forward to working with you all week long. I'm pumped to be part of the Steelers Now and Pittsburgh Sports Now team. So I'm excited to finally get into action. My symptoms, I won't say are all gone, but they're lessened enough that I've been deemed good to go back into action. So I'll be at OTAs this week with everything great there. But thank you all for checking out the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm Chris Carter. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Carter Critiques. You can find this show on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, or YouTube. If you're watching this video on YouTube, hit the like button on the video if you enjoyed it. Subscribe to our podcast on YouTube to get all of our daily episodes Monday through Friday, as well as our bonus episodes and our breaking news updates. If you want to help the show even further, go on Apple Podcasts, leave a five-star review with a positive comment. Do both at the same time. You'll get a shout-out at the end of the show. We'll be back tomorrow with more on your Pittsburgh Steelers with a final look right before OTAs. We will see you then.